they say we should have known better than to fall so deep down into this rabbit hole.
Get we found ready. It's time again to venture down the rabbit hole into the world of cybersecurity. You're plugged into the podcast for security leaders and practitioners with a business sense. Prepare for unique interviews, insights, and practical advice that makes your job just a bit easier. And now, please welcome your guides on this adventure, James Jardine and the White Rabbit, Ruffalos.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thanks for jumping down the rabbit hole. This is Raph. Welcome to the Down to Security Rabbit Hole podcast. We are live from Black Hat. Well, I'm recording this live from Black Hat. You're hearing this whenever you listen to this. But walking around with a microphone, finding some interesting people, and actually got a opportunity to, back at RSA earlier this year, sit down with Deidre Diamond, and we talked through some of the cool stuff she's working on with CyberSN, and we're going to do a little bit of a follow-up for you guys and give you a little bit of update, reveal some cool magic behind-the-scenes stuff, and give you an opportunity to go, you know, potentially try some of this awesome stuff. But I will let her say hello.
Hi. It's great to see you again.
So for those people that didn't catch that episode a couple months ago or are too lazy to go back and look in the archives, tell people who you are.
My name is Deidre Diamond. I'm the founder and CEO of CyberSN.
And so what does CyberSN do?
CyberSN, we're the largest cybersecurity staffing firm in the U.S., only focused on cybersecurity professionals. And yesterday, actually, here at Black Hat, we launched our platform that is game-changing to this massive problem we have with job searching.
And so this is something we chatted about and hinted at from the RSA episode. We kind of had a bit of a chuckle about the massive talent problem that we have in this industry, and you disagree that we do not have enough talent, and we're like minds, but I'm going to let you tell people why you disagree, and we'll start from there.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit of a spin on it in that I'm calling BS that companies can't fill their jobs because there's a shortage, and I'm calling BS meaning, of course, there's a shortage overall, but the reality is 89% of our community is not happy where they work. And that means they're open to recruiting phone calls. The statistics show it. ISC Squared shows it, SANS, myself, we all have the same statistics. It's very true. People do not love where they're working. And so that means that a better opportunity could get them. And so it makes no sense to me that any one organization can say they can't fill their roles because there's a shortage. It's absolutely not true. They can't fill their roles because their job descriptions don't make sense. Or they want three jobs done in one, right? You're laughing. Or they want to pay $30,000 or $40,000 less than the market, or
they don't know what the market rate is.
Or
they want an entry level job with 12 years experience.
Oh gosh! Or they don't want to offer any training or support, or
right.
They don't have succession planning, or they're just not good people, or all of it. It's so mind blowing to me. And so, I really, I solved that problem for organizations. And what I did was decide to give it to the world so that we can find ourselves. So I'm talking about search and match. Is what I'm talking about.
It's like Match.com for IT people and security
Absolutely.
People.
Absolutely. I totally liken to what happened to the dating apps. And you know what they did? Not only did they allow people to have better dates and, you know, find people that they really enjoy being with, they actually changed the retention statistic rates, meaning how long people are staying together and being happy. Their statistics are completely thrown the divorce statistic on its head. I tweeted about it yesterday, eHarmony
wow.
statistics. It is game-changing, and we know why. I mean, you get opportunities for meeting all types of different people.
Yeah.
And so we won't settle if we have options.
Yeah.
You know? And
especially
right.
if you know how to find those
right.
types of options. And I think one of the challenges that you get in there is like the things that you think are important to you sometimes are really what's important to you. Sometimes they're not, because we try to convince ourselves based on society and pressures and parents and friends and all that, right?
Absolutely.
Same thing with jobs?
Absolutely the same thing with jobs. And even worse with jobs, because it's so hard to search, because we're working, we're not, you know, which means we're hiding behind our employers' backs, potentially people we really like that we can't tell we're doing this. And that emotional distress actually causes us to settle. at the offer, you know, an offer comes, and it's not exactly what I set out to look for, but it's close enough. There's a nice raise involved, even though I didn't start looking because of money.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we're settling, and we can see that in our retention statistics, because what the average person is around 14, 15 months in a job on average. Like, that's terrible. It takes that long to figure out an organization sometimes, and certainly at the chief information security officer level. So we've got this, you know, the crisis within a crisis, I call it. Of course we have a shortage of talent, but within that we have a crisis in just finding each other, just being able to match. And so if you think about, what did the dating apps do? They matched, you know, sort of likes and dislikes. Well, in employment, what that translates to is matching people to tasks and projects.
Well, hold on. So let me stop you, because that's a very important distinction. Having a good job you like, or hiring a good employee that's perfect for the role, starts and ends with writing a good job description. Nobody knows how to write job descriptions. I've had to write them. I'm terrible at them. I hate that. Because you try to figure out, like, what is this person's job going to be day to day? And you're like, well, it's kind of this, it's kind of that. You need to know a little COBOL, some Python, how to fly an airplane, but you have to also be good with the refrigeration unit in the lunchroom, because nobody's going to be, like, Mike used to do that, and Mike's left. Like, so you're trying to glom all these things together, and it never works out well.
I'm so glad you just went through that whole experience live with us, because you didn't create a job description. You created a persona of a human, what skills you think they ought to have. And that is exactly the problem. It is very overwhelming. It's why I built this technology 3 years ago, because my cost of sale was so high when I started this firm 5 years ago, because we struggled with, what is this person going to do, and what is the job, and what do you do, and how do we make that match? And so what I'm talking about is actually the tasks and the projects that the job needs to be, what job needs to be done. So the platform, you're going to log in, you're going to say, I'm a hiring professional. You're going to pick a job title that looks about like what you're talking about. And then all these questions are going to be, are they going to do this? Are they going to do this? Are they going to do this? And every time you hit a yes, it's going to eventually come up under a one screen. And then you're going to add a percentage of their time to doing that task or that project. And that is our baseline of also how a professional fills out their profile. And then we take the matching based on the different tasks and projects, the time spent with them. And then on top of that, the matching is, what kind of salary band are you in and want to be in, or what jobs do you want to see in that salary band? And then, hey, what degree do you have? Because some companies will only hire with a degree or not have. Not because of anything other than to match to a must-have job that requires it. Same thing with a cert. Same thing with citizenship. This is an international platform. What you know, who's sponsoring, who's not sponsoring citizenship, right? And then geography. I don't need to know exactly where you live, but I need to know a metropolitan area. Same thing with the job. We match on that. Did you notice all of those things we just matched on, from roles and responsibilities of tasks and projects to the you know, degrees and certs and location and money, I did not mention gender,
yeah,
or age, race, because you won't find that on my platform, which is why I say covert. You have a covert profile. It's really, what it means is confidential. Even CyberSN doesn't know who the professional
is. Interesting, okay.
This is about allowing us to find each other, search.
Take that inherent bias out of search.
Yes.
So that,
yes,
that always drove me crazy, because, yeah, I've got friends that have struggled to find jobs, their perfect job in our industry, probably more at the executive level, because of some companies, you know, they want to hire this kind of person. In fact, that, like, this profile person, never mind that they're qualified or not qualified, but they got to fit this little cookie cutter mold, or be from this background, or live in this region, or whatever. Like, that doesn't really help you solve the problem.
No.
So the other thing that I think you may hopefully have figured out how to solve is, inadvertently, for me, one of the things I've always hated is the fact that we write job descriptions, and it's happening less and less, which is good, based on things like must know how to operate, you know, tool X, and must know programming language Y, as opposed to, like, needs to be a programmer. Like, what does that actually mean? These are because the company will change in 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. Then you're going to do what? Fire the person that you hired for that?
I'm so glad you said that. So we absolutely solved that. So when you say yes to a task or project, if that task or project requires a tool to do that job, a product or a tool,
yeah.
The next question will be, what product or tool did you use, or in the job, or will they use? And there is nothing in this platform that says you must have anything other than a degree, if a company needs that, because they literally legally won't be able to hire based on, you know,
sure.
fair rules of
right.
what they made, or citizenship. Those are the only two things that I'm super important, because I would waste everybody's time if we're not.
Yeah,
otherwise,
yeah.
It's just the tasks and the projects that you've been working on or that need completed, if it's a job, and then what's the tools in the environment, not you must have it. Just to, you know, this is about, like, we've making matches about qualified and interested. It's not like Python is the one language that anybody can only program in, as you said. So yes, I am not playing that game. And I think the community has sort of understood that, but job descriptions have been written that way forever. That
forever.
We're just like, it's like people aren't even thinking.
Well, but the HR department at most companies is not somebody that knows cyber, not somebody that probably doesn't even know IT. Some of that's changing as people, quite frankly, move on, and hopefully, right? I'm being hopeful here.
I'm being
the optimist. Like,
just
give me, let me be the optimist
for
a minute.
No. It's not actually fair to even think that a recruiter, a generalist, or even an IT or software recruiter could recruit for strictly cybersecurity without
sure.
my technology. I had to build it to have a cost of sale that was effective in recruiting. So there's no way they can. I know I couldn't do it
right.
by myself after building Rapid7 sales,
yeah.
you know? So it's not possible. And this is the other thing. I'm so glad you brought up recruiters, because A, the platform supports them in speaking the language just like it does my recruiters, and they'll be more successful. But also, we need to recognize that, you know, who's screening? Like, why? They're not screening anymore. The problem also is that they're, quote, screening. My system actually it's called No More, by the way. We didn't even talk about it. No More, lots of things. We'll talk about it in a second. But it actually makes the match. So you don't have to screen. These are qualified and interested. I can promise you that. My agency's been running on this now for 3 years, and we fill jobs in under 30 days.
Okay, that in itself is amazing,
yes.
because jobs go unfilled for
yes.
6, 8, 9 months.
Of course. Now, you still have to have a skilled professional that can take qualified and interested pool of people down to one person that's hired for that job.
Yep.
And trust me, my people are good at the art of communication, much like myself, and solving problems and helping people get together. That being said, we can still do that for organizations, or organizations can do it themselves. But there is still this awful cost of just search and match to even get to that place. And we solved that with our technology too, but we're the only ones that have been using it. And I want the world to solve this problem. I mean, this is an international platform. All countries welcome, such that we can find each other, because I am in the cyber community, however, I did not come the technical route. And so when I say you all, it's an endearing way to say, you all protect us. And truly, and this is causing great harm to the psychology of this community, and that concerns me greatly, which is why I thought I need to give this to the world, a baseline of how to find each other, so that we can have intelligent conversations instead of, you know, wasting time. No more settling, no more shitty job descriptions, no more terrible interviews that wasted my time because it wasn't a right fit, no
right.
more interviews where the salary wasn't the right way, and then KNOW. In that I'm going to know more, even though there's less content being thrown around.
Well, but that's one of the lovely things about, there's a great quote, brevity is the essence of wit, right? So to say it with less words means to make it, you have to work on it harder. Samuel Clemens? I would have written more, but I didn't have time. I think it was either that or Hemingway, one of the two said that. But we all stink at writing resumes, and everybody hates it. It's basically, you got to sit down and talk about yourself and your experience in as little space as possible to make your skills as attractive to somebody else that's looking for something of that nature as possible. And then, you know, then you get into the, like, well, I kind of did that, but I could put down I did that, right? So then there's like that little stretching thing, I managed a firewall, I ran the AV, and I also pen tested. And by pen tested, I mean I ran the scanner, but that's called pen testing. So, you know, kind of, and I did that once a week, but I know it's resume without this, how much of this time?
My platform would capture all of that super simple. Mobile version could read your profile. And
that's cool.
No more resumes, no more fear of reprisal, no more unconscious or conscious bias in making a match, no more, as we said, shitty job descriptions. And I am saying no in the KNOW is yes, we have less. There's no cutting and pasting jobs. There's no resume. We are literally doing it for you, and you're clicking within minutes. It's done. Like, cyber professionals were involved in this taxonomy of this common language. I can't wait for you particularly to get in there.
I'll put my profile in there.
Absolutely. And any when you're hiring too, and feedback, welcome everybody. This is for you all. I have no investors. I have personally funded all of this solution, and I really do believe that it will be just a matter of time before all professions will follow this, because it is not just our profession that is suffering from this content became free situation, which is what we're dealing with.
Right.
It really, job descriptions in the early 90s when I got into this business cost $5,000. It was the size of a paragraph. It was run on Sunday in one geography.
In the column, yeah.
And that's it.
In the job section of
the paper. That's right. And now I can spend a couple $100. I can make it as long as I want. It's in the entire universe, and it's up for minimum of 90 days. And so we are in content fatigue with job searching, and we have on top of that a common language that's in cybersecurity that is not tech. It is not simple. It's super complex and vast. And then on top of that, we have a shortage. So, we've got crises within crises. I hope that I can solve and do solve searching and finding each other so that we can all spend more time on our cultures, working powerfully together, the EQ stuff that's plaguing us, and really ultimately empower the individual so that nobody ever has to fear job searching and nobody's caught in the, taking a job because I don't have one, because I need to, because I didn't see the layoff coming or the this coming or that coming, which also does happen and is not nice place to be.
Yeah.
And
certainly not pleasant.
No, it's not pleasant. And so we don't need, in today's day and age, we don't need to be in the dark is how I see it. So I'm really looking forward to solving this problem so we can move on to bigger challenges that we have too. Not bigger, but just as important challenges.
And
this should take away a lot of our fatigue so that we can, I hope. I believe it will. I see it so greatly that way.
So is the platform, or is this at any particular level of expertise? Are you going all the way executive, all the way down?
All the way down. All 35 job categories. Executive, down, researchers, professors. It's all there.
Is the platform actively in use? Do you have jobs in there now?
Yeah, we have our jobs. I mean, we launched it to the world yesterday. We have our jobs.
Oh, cool.
And I'm sure people have signed up since we've launched. Everybody can, create jobs and experience creating a profile without paying. We really want the world to recognize what's here. They'll be...
All right, so this is awesome, but what's in it for you? Because there's a lot, you're giving a ton away here.
Yeah.
Lots of this is free. What's in it for you?
So I already use this technology, and I can scale faster in servicing the world and franchising folks to use the technology, and internal recruiters, external recruiters. So what I realized is, what am I going to do? Go get 7,000 recruiters so that I can service the world? Or, how long is that going to take? And that's when I realized, I need to make this self-service. So that, and recruiters apply to being a hiring manager or whether you're in the recruiting department. It doesn't matter. Whoever's responsible for helping find that talent needs these products. So for me, most likely my cost of sale will go down to for sure. If you're asking me beyond my social service, which is where I've been talking from, by the way, no question in my mind that I have the answer to a problem and I must show everybody. And so that was my social service piece. But beyond that, there's no question my cost of sale will change. I can scale very quickly across the country in terms of empowering people with the other 50% of the work that needs to be done, which is how do you help a professional and an employer get through the process as a recruiter of coming together, or empower hiring managers of how to do that themselves? We also master that. I want to give that to the world. So it's an interesting question past the social service, because we use the technology, and so my cost has been minimal.
Yeah.
Right? My agency pays for itself, if you will, because we use this. There is no way you can have a recruiting agency staffed for cybersecurity and not have this technology. It's not possible. And actually make a profit of any way to grow. It's not possible.
Yeah, so very interesting. So slightly changing gears on you, because I love that platform. And we'll come back in at the end of this show and tell everybody how to go sign up, and people that are looking for people where to go sign up. But as the industry grows, where do you see, from a recruiting perspective, where are you seeing the biggest shortages of talent? Where are we missing people, like, right now?
Yeah, so, you know, it won't be anything aha moment. Cloud security architects, anything cloud security, anything engineering, security architects, security engineers, you know, it's all in the implementation, right? All of our successes are in the implementation. So the focus is there. People now know that, and that's a great demand. We are certainly seeing, because of GDPR and what has happened, the compliance and risk world really start to hire lots more folks. The analysts are still the largest amount of, you know, sort of demand
by volume,
right? By volume, and yet all of those people take years and years to develop, minimally, you know, to effective work, and so it's partially the problem.
So there's a trend that I've been talking to folks all weekend, because day job is essentially a company that helps eliminate some of the challenge around trying to build a SOC and staff those people yourself. One of the areas that we are absolutely, there's a lot of talk about with CISOs, is the tiers in the tiered levels in the security operations center. You got L1, L2, L3s. And the challenge of, like, L3s are relatively, they're not easy to keep, but it's easier to keep those people around because there's not many of them. You can pay them a whole lot of money and they get to some pretty interesting work. The level twos can aspire to be level threes. They do some pretty interesting work, and it's not the super interesting stuff, but, you know, I mean, you can pay them well and you can usually keep them. The L1s are the challenge because they come in relatively green. You teach them everything they need to know, and as soon as they find something interesting, they have to hand it upstream or hand it off to somebody that's actually going to do the interesting part of it. And as soon as they get trained and have enough experience, they either go to your L2, which means they'll leave, or they'll leave, which means you've lost them, and you're back to, it's like this endless vacuum. Are you seeing that as well? Because you said analysts.
Yeah, well, you know, you just touched on the number one reason people leave their jobs. They're not challenged. So you said they're not doing interesting enough work. So the key is being on top of how interesting is the work and how fast can you move people through uninteresting to interesting. Product companies are trying to relieve that pain of the uninteresting role for the analyst, but that's what's going on. So uninterested is also, you know, boring and not challenging the brain. And we all go crazy. Like, humans need their brain challenged, especially the technical side of our community.
Absolutely,
I mean, my goodness. So this is why, for me, with my clients, we start with, what's your retention plan? What's the story? How are you? What are we selling? Because this is what everybody wants. And I think if you know for sure you can only keep them a year or 2 years, then just be transparent about it. Work that program with them. Let them help you bring somebody else in, because you know they're going to leave. Like, participate in their story. Don't always have to have all the answers to their story, but whatever you do have, make sure they know. Because you can actually still make a system like that work for yourself if you know that after a couple of years people need to move on, and you plan with them, or just get them into more exciting work faster, and products that take away that boring stuff is super key. And, you know, something else I left out that's on fire is DevSecOps, right? Like, as a CEO, I can tell you, as leadership, we all are sick of the the battle, right? And so people that can really solve that problem and work in those roles are in high demand, you know, which is an EQ thing, really, as much of a technical thing, too, because our engineers and security professionals need to, you know, come together at a greater capacity of efficiency, right?
So the other, last but not least, I having hired recently, I'm literally, the salary ranges over the last 4 or 5 years, I don't even want to bring the cloud security stuff into it, because that's another notch or two above the madness. But where does this all end? Because we, as the market drives higher and higher need for more volume of talent, which we're not, there's no place to get them, so it's just going to be a bigger and bigger void. That inevitably causes people to be more mobile in between jobs. So you're stealing from somebody else. You're not finding somebody that's out of work. You're stealing somebody from the company next door, right?
Yeah.
Which then means that you have to pay better than they do, right? And yet, a lot of us say that we wouldn't leave a company just because of a better salary. So where does this end? Because I don't think this ends anywhere well, because the salaries are going up. But that's the only thing sometimes driving that change in job?
No.
No? Okay.
It's not. It's definitely not. So there's good news and there's a lot of bad news, okay? The good news is your community, our community, they really aren't leaving because of money. It is a truthful statement. Again, at the offer stage, come on, who's not going to go try and get the most money they can?
Yeah.
That being said, what's going on with money is this. You're 25% higher than IT and software now at this point, right?
Wow.
In the Bay Area, even a little bit more. And I think we should talk about the difference between the Bay Area and the rest of this country
right now.
Yeah. Because I have a major practice there, and it's mind-blowing stuff. Let me finish this first, which is to say the salary problem is causing a lot of churn, meaning organizations don't, you know, they kind of once a year sort of come up with their bands, and then they don't want to change those bands, and so cyber leaders are really not able to get the talent because the bands aren't changing fast enough. That is a major problem in the platform. I am very specific to say, hey, employer, the salary band is a part of my search match. Like, you don't get to just engage a professional because they're on the platform. You engage them because they came up in my match, which includes salary band. And so you're going to understand that that's how you've got to play. Don't talk to these people. Don't engage them if you can't pay this money.
Yeah.
Because it's a waste of everybody's time. So go get your bands fixed. You know, we're also going to, you know, of course, release the data of real-time data of salary so we can help these companies.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, well, they need it. They're going to places where it's a year old data. Nobody has data that's real time for these companies to work with.
Well, and so I'm sorry, I'll interrupt for a second.
Yeah.
I ran into this, and this is right along the way. What we're finding is we're creating new job titles, or essentially new jobs, hybrids of other jobs to try to fix some of this. And the statistics that our HR people are pulling are coming from a place that doesn't have these. So they're like, it kind of looks like that. You're like, yeah, but no, that's not.
Yeah.
And now you're trying to hire somebody that's doing essentially a blend of three different jobs that are very highly skilled, which makes now them a unicorn, right? A magical unicorn with laser beams for eyes. And they're still trying to fire, you know, looking at like, it's just a common job. You're like, no.
Yeah.
So that's going to be one to solve.
And that's been happening forever, definitely, you know, solved in the platform. Whether people want to comply is the question. Whether they don't like the data. The data's there, whether they choose to listen to it or not. And this is why I tell everybody, it's, you have a retention program, because it's not about the money. You will, as an organization, spend more money than you wanted to spend because you don't plan and recognize these people want career growth and have succession planning and all these things, or you know, you can just continue to fight it and then just have attrition and constantly be spending to hire and pay more, and because your culture's not great.
Yeah. And ultimately you pay more because the cost of acquisition is higher.
Yeah, and humans will react to a massive raise. They will go to the opportunity that they probably shouldn't go to because the offer was so high, and companies will do that because they have nothing else, and that is a part of the problem. So, you know, you got to pay for what is going on. I mean, salespeople don't, you know, have to conform because somebody in, you know, says they shouldn't make that much money. Like, what are you talking about? And neither does other professions. So, you know, the marketplace is 20 to 25% more for sure. In Silicon Valley, security engineers are getting stock options. And they're getting stock options in the seven digits. Value. It is pretty mind-blowing stuff.
That's insane.
So I've been telling people, if you really want to play the money game of tech, you know, it is happening in Silicon Valley for security professionals. Like,
how many people that take that actually get to cash in, though? Do you know the percentage?
People say that. It's no different than a software engineer's story of that. It should pay out. that will the majority of the time at some level is what kind of money does it end up being at the end of the day when you start with $1 million to $2 million? Sometimes it stays that. Sometimes it's more. Sometimes it's less. I mean, this game now is pretty playbook at this point and what's going on. And it's not, people aren't making millions anymore at the top. They're making billions. Okay, it is mind-blowing. I've been playing in this business of this myself, right? I mean, I'm one of the early folks of Rapid 7, and it is an interesting dynamic right now. It is not millions anymore, it's billions. So, of course, security engineers are playing in it like software engineers are playing in it. And it's pretty cool. I mean, look, I don't love what capitalism creates, and yet I know that I live in a capitalist environment, so I play the game and I use the money to create great cultures and jobs and wonderful things. I'm not going to judge what somebody else is doing with money. I want people to understand where it's at.
Right.
Because that's also part of the inequality that exists in the workforce of today, is it used to be very few people can get in on that game. Well, it's out. It is out there for security engineers, too. Certainly chief information security officers and heads of, right? But we see it at the engineering, architect, senior level, for sure.
So last and final question I'll ask is, where is what besides Silicon Valley, where's the hottest job growth in security in the country?
DC is at the top, right?
And government then, or private?
Yeah, actually, it's both. It's both. There's so many. I mean, government contractors are private, right? And there's more government contractors than there are government. But they're still staffing probably more government than not, even though they're private, which is why they can pay the money. Which is, again, another law that we have that just creates this dichotomy of separate teams. It's just super sad. But we're not as bad as the contracting stuff, but similar, meaning corporate, just contract jobs.
Yeah.
It's the big cities, of course. You know, New York, Boston. Boston's got, just on fire with security software companies. Tons and tons there, more than other places. New York, number two. Texas, Austin is certainly there. All the big cities, for sure.
Well, cool. Hey, thanks for sitting down with us. So how do people go check out this platform? Because I want to save that for last, so they can just go ahead and bang it on the keyboard and then go try it.
Absolutely. CyberSN.com. And right in the upper right-hand corner is log into Know More platform.
Awesome. Deidre, hey, thanks for hanging out with us again. Folks, this has been yet another edition of the Down the Security Rabbit Hole podcast. So for myself and James and for Deidre here that joined us live in person, thanks for listening. We'll see you another time, another place on yet another Down the Security Rabbit Hole podcast. Bye, y'all.
As we fade out on another Down the Security Rabbit Hole episode, we'd like to encourage you to chat with our hosts and guests using the Twitter hashtag #DTSR. Please check out the show notes, catch up on any episodes you may have missed, and subscribe so you don't miss a future episode. Our website is whiterabbit.net, whiterabbit.net. So on behalf of Rafal, James, for now it's goodbye. We'll see you soon on another Down the Security Rabbit Hole podcast.